Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tocoya. Tocoa is what we're going with.
Okay, yeah.
Be a little weird.
Sounds kind of Native American.
It is. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that it is. I don't think it's German.
No, I don't think. Yes. It's French either.
I know. Qu'est-ce que c'est le Tocoa? Yeah, no, it's not that.
Pétain-Châtaignier.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever role you play in your business, you know the role that printing plays in your business. That's why you need to be working with Pip Printing and Signs. 30 years of experience, a variety of services they can offer you, not only for marketing materials, flyers, brochures, but also in terms of what signage they can provide inside and outside of your building. They help you tell the story of your business. Give Cam Baker a call today. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, and he'll take it from there. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. You want to get those new logos, they've got them at College Corner. Shirts, hats, t-shirts, stuff for the car, for your house, if you need to get a new flag for outside, whatever it is, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. It's just so good. I think I'm gonna go this week. Yeah. I think I'm gonna make that happen. And you should too. You should be talking about it. You're headed to Starkville this weekend for football. A trip to Restaurant Tyler needs to be on your to-do list. If you want to get the best meal in town, it's easy to do. You just have to go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where those locations are, but show you what they can do to help you in terms of investment, money management, and how they're going to help you build for the future. Nowadays, it's more important than ever to be able to talk to people directly about your money. You don't want to be on hold for a while. You don't want to have to deal with a call center. You want to talk to somebody at your bank. You can do that with Priority One. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is Rumblings Day here on the podcast, which means we are brought to you by our good friends over at Superior Catfish, who have some very exciting news. You can now get Superior Catfish delivered directly to your home at their new e-store. Store.superiorcatfish.com. They've got catfish IQF individually quick frozen that they will send directly to your door. And also you can buy their fantastic breadings and seasonings as well. It's all right there. Store.superiorcatfish.com. Now you can taste the difference right in your home of why there's catfish and then there's Superior Catfish. Oh, hey there, Robbie.
Hey there, Brian. Brian!
It makes me laugh every time. Let's jump right in.
Where did that start?
Huh? I think somehow John started it.
It just became a bit. Just became like a bit. We have way too
everything else. Everything else is a bit.
We counted on the way to Charlottesville in the car, we counted, I think, 43 bits that we have. And
that's a lot.
The first trip we went on to Charlotte, Grace was in the vehicle with us, and I thought she was going to leap out of the vehicle
yeah
while we were driving down the road. And that was just me, Stefan, and Sock. And we had her trapped in that WCBI car doing the bits.
Yeah. But then by the end of the trip,
it was like
she's doing the bits.
You know the video meme that's like Sydney Sweeney from Euphoria, where she's like crying in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and like it's like when your husband's doing the Tony Soprano impression in the shower or whatever, and you hear the guy's like a gubba goo or whatever, and she's like crying. Mm-hmm. That was Grace. Like we're just sitting there doing impressions and stuff, and Grace is basically Sydney Sweeney crying in the bathroom. Whatever that scene was. I hadn't seen Euphoria, but...
Yeah, I know what you're saying there. Yeah. Let's just jump right in. First question today from Nathan Kelly.
Where?
Colton? There he is. Oh, Colton, you're way behind, man. Way behind today. Nathan Kelly, if your car horn sounded like a
Dog was ready.
Sounded like a wrestling catchphrase, which one would it be? Can you imagine driving around with Stone Cold Said So blaring? This is an easy question.
What?
No, that's a good one, but it's not the best choice. Imagine you hit the horn and it's, woo!
That would
woo!
Be.
Oh my God, I would lose.
That would be incredible.
That would be fantastic. Flair's woo as a horn would be incredible.
I don't know if Nathan was at our school when this happened, but when I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
There was a guy, he like kind of helped out the school and stuff.
Yeah.
His daughter was in a grade above me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of like, you know, handyman. He was a painter. He might have done some construction or whatever. Every day he would drive by Winston Academy,
mm-hmm.
and blow his horn. His horn was the Dukes of Hazzard, which I guess was Dixie.
Dixie.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's just driving by and you start. And we were like, oh, there goes old so-and-so. I don't know if Nathan was there then or not, but that's the first time I heard like a specialized horn. It was the Dukes of Hazzard's, the General Lee's car horn.
That's good. Yeah.
But Flair's the answer is Ric Flair.
Yeah, I agree.
The woo.
Brick Thomas, honestly, if the analysts and the haters were right, but if we wind up 4-8 with a great offense and a bad defense, do we see Lebby cleaning house on the defensive side, including David Turner? I think if
it's clear that defense is a major issue,
you got to make some changes. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just feel like I don't feel like Lebby's going to let himself be bogged down by that. If they let's say they had a bad night Saturday night offensively, right? The rest of the way they're great, but they're trying to figure it out. You got to move on. You got to move on.
I feel like that he will know whether or not Coleman Hutzler can do this. Like,
yeah,
he could sit there and go, okay, Coleman needs players and he needs experience. I think that he can get the job done.
Yeah.
And you could see Coleman return, but you have changes at certain positions. I could certainly see that happening if it's clear that the defense is an issue, which I think is going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Also, would you rather do a triathlon or be a Notre Dame fan? I'd much rather be a Notre Dame fan.
So there's a triathlon.
I'm not doing a triathlon. Absolutely.
I mean, there's worse things than being preseason top 15 every single year and having one of the more recognizable brands in college football.
Yeah. Let's see here. Brian asks, what's the Toledo school record for single-game rushing yards? It's definitely in jeopardy. The record is 304 yards.
Well, you looked it up.
Yeah. Casey McBeth against Akron in 1994. McBeth also scored 5 touchdowns and a 2-pointer.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the record. I don't think it's in jeopardy, I'll be honest with you. Mitchell, looking for a spot in Starkville to pick up a couple of State Script polos, also a spot to grab a bite to eat. Any suggestions? Is this a prank?
It feels like this is a setup for you to talk about our loyal sponsors.
I feel like it's a prank almost.
Let's move on. No.
It's too easy. I would go eat at Restaurant Tyler, Two Brothers, and the Older Brother, and I would go to Maroon & Company to buy that State Script polo and use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15%.
And go get you some coffee at Strange Brew afterwards, maybe some ice cream at Churn & Spoon.
There you go.
Sounds great. You can pretty much be covered. When you come to Starkville, you are covered.
With our sponsors.
With our sponsors.
Agreed.
There's no doubt about it.
All right. Patton Paris, Mostly Sports had Mariah May on, and one of the couch boys really struggled throughout the interview, even making the comment, I'm overstimulated right now.
Oh, boy. So she was on Mostly Sports in wrestling.
See, he
wrestling's
did,
back.
He did a one-on-one with her for wrestling, but she came in and did like a segment on Mostly Sports.
He's not putting wrestling on the podcast feed, is he? Is he?
I think it's just, is that YouTube? Just YouTube?
Yeah. See,
I don't like that.
I want to listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
I don't
like. I was driving the other day, and I was like, it was right when he did the one with Swart Strickland, and I was like, I want to listen to that, and it wasn't on. I would have had to keep it on YouTube, and I'm like, I don't want to just leave my phone up, and
no,
I just want to do that. So
come on, Brandon.
So Brandon, if you're listening,
send it to the podcast feed.
Yeah,
yeah, he's not. He doesn't listen to our show.
No. I don't listen to y'all. Y'all are a bunch of peons. Anyway, who would be the likely candidates to have you totally out of sorts during an interview? If Margot Robbie and I did an interview, I don't know how I'd get through it.
It would definitely be an attractive woman. Yeah. And that's
also Brandy Love, if you know who she is.
Come on.
I would be like...
I would never conduct an interview with Brandy Love.
Well, I don't know why I would, but if I had to, it'd be difficult.
Thank God my mother doesn't know who Brandy
Love
is.
Don't Google that.
I don't think Becky does either.
None of y'all Google that, especially at work. Hunter Boland asks, if you could pick four WWE superstars, past or present, to come help State's defensive line, who would you pick? Lesnar. Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons is All-American at Florida State. That's a good choice. So Farouk, I guess, what we call him. Who was another D lineman? Heidenreich was not a D lineman.
I mean,
was he?
He might have been.
He played here
or offensive line.
Okay,
it was one of the two.
Okay,
Lesnar. I don't think he played high school football.
No,
so that's dude almost made an NFL roster.
Yeah,
and it wasn't just like for fun.
Titus O'Neil.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right,
for
so
sure.
That's three. We've got three guys.
The Rock. Actually play.
The Rock. Yeah, we're good. We just saved it.
Just put those guys on the defensive line.
If I got prime college Ron Simmons.
I mean, nose tackle.
All of a sudden, Jeff Simmons is the second greatest Simmons defensive lineman ever at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Hunter Manis, what animal would be the most terrifying if you added wings to it? A chihuahua. Flying chihuahua.
A chihuahua?
Backhand
that.
Like a tiger or a lion. A flying tiger would be a problem. A real problem.
Yes.
Imagine you're just out in the, and you know, you're just on a safari. Oh, look, honey, elephants. And all of a sudden, rah, there's a tiger flies in on you.
I mean, it would be like a dragon without fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you rather go to jail for a year or go to jail with 10 Rubik's Cubes, but you can't leave until they're all completed? So here's what I think. I think anything, you get better at it with practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you lock me in a room with Rubik's Cubes, and say, you can't leave till they're all done. It's going to take me a while to get the first one. But once I have the first one and I have it figured out, it's not going to take long to get the rest. My guess is, I've never completed a Rubik's Cube. No, you know, full disclosure.
I haven't either.
So, I have a cousin who can do it quickly. He's one of those, like, two-minute guys. But it's not Steven, if you're wondering. But that being said, my guess is if I sat there and played with it for a few hours, I would get it. And then the next 9 would probably go quick. So, I definitely would go with a Rubik's Cube.
I've never in my life completed a Rubik's Cube.
No, I
tried it, just fiddled around with it.
I don't have the patience.
I
don't have the patience. But then again, if you're telling me I can't leave the room until it's done, I'll figure it out.
I have ADHD. I know for a fact that I do.
Ooh,
I was talking to my mom about this last night, and she was, because, you know, I have a family member, younger family member that's on medicine for it. And I was like, why did y'all not put me on this medicine? Because I struggled in school. I barely made it. Like, I didn't barely make it through high school, but there was a class or two that I was concerned about. And then when I got to college, you know, I failed a couple of classes, mostly because I was lazy and didn't go to class. But I struggled in school, is what I'm saying. And I was asking her, why did I not get put on this? And she was like, I don't know, because you obviously had issues.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I did. Thanks a lot.
Oh, well, I'll be all right.
You held me back. I could have gone to Yale.
You could definitely go to Yale.
Just give me some Ritalin.
You can yell all you want.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could go to Yale.
I did do that.
Yeah. Also from Hunter, would you rather detect every lie you ever hear or never be caught in a lie? So never be caught in a lie is interesting. They did make a movie about that. Have you seen it? It's got Ricky Gervais in it. basically, he invents lying. Like, in the world that he lives in.
So he can lie and nobody ever catches on.
It's the thing. Like, in the movie, the lying does not exist. It does not exist. Oh. So if you can wrap your head around that. So, like, he goes to the bank and he tells them he's like, he needs like $500, but he only has $200 in his checking account. And so he just tells them, oh, I should have like $100,000 in there. And they go, okay, so we'll make that work for you. And they just give him the money.
So it's like Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah, but no, he's just lying, and nobody knows that lying exists.
They just, everybody just, you just take everybody on their
word. In the world that this movie creates, lying does not exist.
That's an interesting concept.
Like, he's walking down the street, and he sees a good-looking woman, and she's like, I'm not interested in you. Tells him that, right? And he's like, but if we don't have sex, the world's going to end. And she turns around, and she goes, do we have time to get to a motel, or should we just go right here in the street? So, it's an interesting thought. That being said, being able to detect every lie...
Oh, that would be. I mean,
that's. I think I'd rather be a human lie detector.
Well, I kind of. Maybe I'm I kind of can. I have a pretty good BS meter.
I feel like I do too. But to be able to be sure about
it, you know for a fact somebody's lying to you.
Especially in our business, it'd be great. Coach Levy, how do you feel about your team? I think we're going to be okay.
Maury Povich pops up. Yeah. The lie detector determined that was a lie.
I got the Manila folder right here.
Yeah,
so that's where I'm going. Papa Crawdad, better career, Spike Dudley, Mikey Whipwreck, or Hurricane Helms?
I want to say...
I think it's Hurricane.
I want to say Hurricane just because he was actually
featured. He had some angles with The Rock and, you know...
Spike Dudley was like almost an accessory. Like, he... Like,
really, you know, he died every time he wrestled.
It was just basically... You know, he was a lot like Crash Holly. Like, he was just kind of... You know, little guy, it was fun to throw him around, and he did a lot of spots, but wasn't much of a character.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Whipwreck, he was never bigger than ECW, pretty much, and he was like he was almost like enhancement talent in ECW, and people started to kind of gravitate to him. I think it's Hurricane.
All right. Andrew Norwood.
Lasted for a long time, and he was in WCW and WWF.
Andrew Norwood, thoughts on Hangman versus Swerve this past weekend, please. Ranked among the best hardcore matches. You haven't seen it yet. I will tell you that I thought their Texas Death Match was better. But this is a very good match.
The one at Full Gear?
The one at, I guess, where Hangman drinks his blood. That was the one where I was like, that was the first time I saw the staple. The staple gun's getting a little played out. It's like every time now. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it was really good.
Top five James Earl Jones movies in honor of his passing. Now, here's my question. I mean, all three Star Wars are in this, right?
You have to.
Yeah. So
just say Star Wars as a whole.
As a whole, okay. Then Field of Dreams.
Star Wars is number one. That's an iconic.
Yeah. And what's funny is like he doesn't actually act in that movie. He's just his voice.
Uh huh.
But it doesn't matter. It's that is a James Earl Jones movie.
I mean, Lion King's got to be in there.
Lion King. So, Lion King. Star Wars, Lion King, Field of Dreams, The Sandlot, Conan the Barbarian. I'm done.
I'm trying to think if there was another one.
He's in The Hunt for Red October, which is that's one of my favorite movies. That might be in there over Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, I never really watched like Conan the Barbarian with Arnold.
Yeah, yeah, he's the bad guy in that movie. He's really good.
I never watched that.
Well, it's before your time. I mean, yeah. I came like early 80s.
Well, so was Star Wars.
Yeah, but... true, but it's not as iconic.
Yeah. So. I don't know, but the top four is pretty much set for me.
I love The Hunt for Red October. That's one of my favorite movies. Not really a James Earl Jones movie. He's just in it.
He is arguably the most iconic voice.
Yeah, it's him or Morgan Freeman, ever. Right?
Yeah, no, I think I would give him the edge.
Too. Yeah.
I remember when I found out that he was the voice of Darth Vader, I was shocked.
Yeah. Brogan Fairchild, I'm in Louisiana. There's a tropical storm that's going to be a hurricane heading our way. Please be safe, Brogan. We probably need a couple of days off from school. Oh, by the way, Brogan's reminds me. I did choose two winners for the gift cards. I never brought it up, but I did send. I sent them their gear. They should probably already have it. There was one kid. What was his name? Let me real quick get this going here. Alex Matthews. He sent me one. He was in a class listening to our show. You could see that on his Apple Watch. And then this lady, Brittany Rhodes, she made a Lambo joke that made me laugh. She's like, I'm not in a Lambo, but we're still listening. So I sent them the gift card. So you guys were the winners. Congrats. I sent you your stuff. You should have it. You probably have it by now. Anyway, answer, but I remember Brogan because he was a finalist because he was in his 18-wheeler. Brogan, you would have probably won, but your picture, I couldn't actually see that you were listening to Thunder and Lightning.
It was just him riding down the road.
Just him riding down the road, yeah. Unless I missed something.
He's going to be in shambles now.
I know. Anyway, probably got a couple days off from school. Need to kill a lot of time. What board games do you like playing with your family? We play Poop Bingo a lot. You ever play that?
What?
Poop Bingo?
No.
Okay.
Don't think I've ever played that before.
It's just like bingo, but with poop.
Doesn't sound fun at all.
Well, it's not what you think. It doesn't involve actual poop.
Okay, it's cat just, poop.
Well, yeah, cat poop is one of the poops you can get a bingo with, yeah, along with dog
poop. Oh, so like the little thing is like a poop thing, like a
poop. Your card is different kinds of poop.
Okay.
And then you pull out the card, and instead of going B12, you go elephant poop. And if you have elephant poop on your thing, you put a marker down and you're good.
All right. I would have loved that in the fifth grade.
Yeah, well, my kids get a kick out of it.
They're
like
poop.
Me. They're, yeah. They're very immature.
Of course
they're very immature. Trying to think, did we play any
other Uno ones? Is a good
Uno
one.
Uno is a good one. Nobody wants to play Trivial Pursuit with me because I play for
to really pass the time, yeah. Monopoly. That thing can last 10 hours.
It'll take for all day, yeah. What fictional characters would you love to sit down and have a couple of adult beverages with? Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne. Be my top two.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't figure, you know, I don't know if Superman and Batman are out drinking, but Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne will have a cocktail with you.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone. That one?
That'd be nice. Vito.
What do you got to do to buy him a drink? You sure, Vito?
Your wife for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Soprano would be a good one. I would.
Oh
go,
yeah.
I go have a drink.
Tony and Polly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Can I get Tony and Polly?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Colton Watson, is syrup a condiment? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yep. A condiment is a food that you add to other foods, yep, to enhance that original food.
Jelly is a condiment.
Jelly is a condiment.
It's not exclusive to dinner, okay, or lunch.
Jelly is a condiment, but it's peanut butter. I say peanut butter is not a condiment. It's a main ingredient.
Jelly kind of is too, isn't it? A peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
But you can have a peanut butter. Here's
in the context
saying.
Of, like, peanut butter crackers.
Yeah. That's my...
Like peanut butter on the cracker.
So is it,
you're making
is it
your
both?
Own.
Is it,
yes,
both? Because here's what I would say is you can have a peanut butter sandwich without jelly. It's, mm-hmm, a little weird, but you can have it. Nobody eats just a jelly sandwich.
No, they don't.
Right?
Nobody, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there.
Nobody.
But you eat toast. You eat toast on your jelly.
Well, I mean, then jelly is a condiment on the toast.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, do you ever eat a spoonful of jelly?
I have before, like, when my sugar was low.
Okay, but like some people
just get old
peanut butter and go scoop a teaspoon of peanut butter and eat it.
No, I do that.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think peanut butter is not really a condiment, but jelly
I think
is.
It could be both.
Okay, jelly is a condiment. Syrup.
Yes.
Getting back to the original question,
syrup.
Nobody's
is.
Just eating syrup. Like nobody's like, can I get a shot of syrup?
Are you a syrup? Are you a fan of like old school like molasses?
No.
Oh man, molasses on a biscuit.
Not a fan. No, I don't like that. No, I don't like sweet biscuit stuff. Very rarely. Ooh. I'll eat jelly on a biscuit every now and then, but for the most part, I want butter and meat on biscuits.
It is hard to beat a biscuit, a hot biscuit, with some of that, like...
Black strap molasses on there?
Oh, yeah.
My grandfather, like, put a cane syrup on there.
Well, Robert St. John at the Midtowner, they have cane syrup.
Yeah.
And it is so freaking good.
It's good.
I put some of that on the French toast, which is the best French toast I've ever had at the Midtown.
Again, nobody's just getting a spoonful of that of syrup and just eating it.
No, it is 100% a condiment.
I will say this. I watched, when I was doing DDP yoga, I watched one of their videos, and they had one of the guys who had the, you know, he like 500 pounds, and he lost like 400 pounds or whatever it was. And he said that there were times where he would just grab a bottle of maple syrup and drink out of it. And I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
You may have a problem, sir. I'm glad you got help.
That's like my 600-pound life,
yeah,
people.
Who's drinking maple syrup? Gosh. Are shoes clothes? No, shoes are shoes, right?
would you consider an accessory?
Yeah. Because you can go out in public without shoes. Now, I can't go in a restaurant, but like if you just see somebody out walking barefoot, you don't really think that much of it.
Socks
are clothes.
Because that's what's actually clothing you is the sock. Yeah. And then on top of the sock, you're wearing a shoe.
Right. That's the accessory. I agree. I'm not answering this last question, Colton. Come on. Caleb Smith, it is quite embarrassing that State was a 5-point underdog to Arizona State and Texas State is only a 2-point underdog. That right there is an indictment of the athletic department. Not really seeing a question there, Caleb, but okay, I'll agree with that.
Just let him get it out.
Yeah. What was your favorite
year? It is quite embarrassing.
What was your favorite year of wrestling post-Attitude Era? So mine's going to be way
different. Where do we draw the line? 2003?
So let me ask you a question. What is the event that is the end of the Attitude Era? I know what it is.
Well, technically, the next era is Ruthless Aggression. But I consider that part of the Attitude Era.
Now, when Cena comes out to challenge Kurt Angle.
But they were still doing panties matches.
But that's the first step.
It is
away.
The start of the Ruthless Aggression era, but I still don't think that was like.
So maybe Cena winning his first title?
I think Cena, when he did the Doctor of Thugonomics, was kind of
When Cena is Doctor of Thugonomics but turns face and beats JBL at WrestleMania, that's the end of the Attitude Era.
There is a distinct time. They did that right after the John Cena stuff. I feel like they did the get the F out thing where they had the World Wildlife Federation sued the WWF and made them change their name.
Which they're talking about going back.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that. They may go back to WWF.
Ooh, interesting.
That'd be great.
That's a thing?
It's possible.
Huh. I think that Ruthless Aggression and Attitude Era are different, but there's like muddied waters. Like I'm watching all of them back right now, like 2002 when Shawn Michaels came back.
There's no defining moment where they're like, this is no longer the Attitude Era.
But I think that time would be the best after the Attitude Era.
So
because you still had Eddie Guerrero and all those great wrestlers. Kurt Angle was at his peak.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels came back.
Yeah, Jericho was at his peak.
Evolution came into play.
Yeah. You hate to say it, but Benoit.
Yeah. I mean, question how great
WrestleMania
wrestler he was.
WrestleMania 20, I think, is that the one? Benoit wins the title, and Eddie beats Kurt Angle and defends his title. Undertaker comes back as the Undertaker. He's no longer the American Badass.
Yeah.
That's a good moment. That's right there. I'll give you another one, too, just for me. It's 2019 with the creation of AEW. The first real competition for WWE in two decades. The first year of AEW,
right now,
they were bangers bangers.
If COVID wouldn't have happened, there's no telling what would have gone on with the two.
Yeah.
This might be the best time.
Right now, there's great wrestling every week.
Because in Impact, TNA's starting to gain some steam. I mean, you basically have three legit companies that are kind of self-sustained right now. And everything's like really good.
MSU just tweeted, Robbie, Hardy concert has been moved to Friday.
Okay.
So just in case you didn't know that and you're just finding about it here on this podcast.
I heard about that on...
You were talking about it on the message board. Refunds available for those who are unable to attend. And you go from there. So I guess I'll retweet that while we're...
This is actually the best thing that could happen, I think. I know there's a lot of people that have high school football, and I do. I'm having to kind of scramble to get somebody to cover me because I'm not missing this.
Yeah.
But a Friday night concert on a game day weekend
should be great.
Is what it should have been,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I agree. So there we go. All right. Getting back to the questions here. John, Brian, he wants my early thoughts on the Saints and your early thoughts on the Steelers. You go first.
It seems like the same old Steelers to me. I mean, I don't have any faith in the offense, and the defense looks salty, and I'm thanking God every day we have Chris Boswell. That's pretty much it. We scored every point on kicks and beat a team in the NFL kicking six field goals.
Beat the Falcons, thanks. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Now, the Saints look freaking good, I had to temper that a little bit because of the Panthers.
The worst team in the league.
But
I've decided I'm going to play Chase the Panthers this year on fantasy football. whatever defense is playing the Panthers, I'm going to try to pick them up every week.
But listen, this isn't like you're playing Eastern Kentucky.
They scored 47 points.
This is still an NFL team that has, world-class players on it.
They dominate. And that's the best Derek Carr has looked in New Orleans. So it's a good start. Big game this week with Dallas.
But you feel more confident in the defense than you do.
Oh, the Saints have a good defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm not worried about. Offensively, they look good. But
Kamara's still going strong.
He's good. Olave's good. Rashid Shaheed is good. But this week with Dallas, if they are able to go to Dallas and win, then I'm going to start thinking, okay, maybe this can be a playoff team. Also from John, what's the best way to explain how our defensive line recruiting and development has tanked like it has? Coaching, lazy recruiting, simply marketing DLU isn't working. I mean, Jeff Phelps was not a great recruiter prior to David Turner coming back.
No.
And I can't help but think that Turner might be just a little too old school at this point. It's just not working. I know who I think State should go after. I'm interested to see if they do. But apparently Pernell McPhee is a hot, hot name in coaching.
And would you go ahead and pull the trigger on him? He's at Michigan.
He's
at
Michigan.
Right?
He's like an analyst up there.
Is it too early?
Just bring him in as an analyst right now and just tell him, like, look, at the end of the season, you're going to get the job. I don't know if he'd
Would he sign on for an analyst position at Mississippi State over – does he love State enough to make that move?
But you have to tell him – you have to put it in his contract that after the season, you're the new defensive line coach.
Yeah.
So
he is a very fast riser from what I understand. I mean –
he's like Bumpus, right? He fits the bill. Young guy. McPhee has a Super Bowl ring, doesn't he? He was on that Ravens team that won a Super Bowl. So he played a long time in the league.
Was he on that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, they beat the 49ers. Yeah.
And so, young guy, played at State, NFL career.
Thank you for saying he's a young guy. He's same age as me.
And in coaching terms, he's very young.
He is. 35. 35 is definitely young.
Something to talk about.
35 is young just in general.
Yeah.
Very young, vibrant.
Great age.
I'm in my prime.
That's right. I will do one more here, and then we'll go to the break. For Matthew Watkins, we've got some this or that's. They're all wrestling related. Diesel or Kevin Nash? Nash.
Nash.
Scott Hall, same thing. Mm-hmm. Hall and Nash are infinitely more interesting. The Giant or the Big Show?
Big Show.
I would say the Giant, but the whole thing of him getting knocked off the building and coming back
with Hulk Hogan.
Ruins it, yeah. Mabel, Viscera, or Big Daddy V? Viscera.
Viscera.
Yeah. Ron Simmons or Farouk? Ron Simmons. Just Ron Simmons. Although I love Farouk. Did you like Farouk?
Yeah. What?
Damn!
Hey, every time I see Mabel...
Yeah, I know what you think of.
I think about the time...
The armory.
Yes. His car broke down. We were all at the Sportsplex to watch Mabel, and his car broke down, and then like a year later, he died.
Yeah.
So
Isaac Yankum or Mayor Glenn Jacobs?
Mayor Jacobs
is better, yeah. Isaac Yankum, DDS.
Yes.
All right.
His teeth were
gross.
Screwed up.
I don't know how they made that work. Let's move into the rest of the show, brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. You got a night game, so you got all day to cook. So you can do those big cuts, but you can also do those little small cuts, too. You know what I'm going to cook? I think we may be having a cookout soon. I'm going to cook those dinosaur steaks that our friend Sam Blakeney gave us.
Oh, hey, I cooked the chuck roast the other day
that
he gave me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I remember him saying, I'm just not very happy with this. It's not very big. I barely fit it in the crock pot. it was like touching the top. But, buddy, it was wiped out in like an hour.
Gave me a couple of small steaks. You know, they're just the size, like they look like Fred Flintstone steaks.
We also did tacos with the ground beef that he had.
I'm cooking that ground beef tonight.
The meat is just different when it comes from those farms.
It's fresh off the hoof like that.
It is different. It tastes so much better than the meat you get from the store.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm making some pasta tonight with that ground beef.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
And you can be doing it too. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. When you are looking for a great meal, a great time in the city of Starkville, you need to head to the Cotton District. and enjoy a meal at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or at the Older Brother, Starkville's best new restaurant. Just such a fantastic place to go when you want a fancy sandwich. This is the problem with this show, is that I talk about these restaurants and all I'm thinking about is like, I want to eat there every day. I want Restaurant Tyler open for breakfast, so I can go get breakfast there. I'll go get lunch at the Older Brother and dinner at Two Brothers. I could do that every day. And the cool thing is I don't have to eat the same things every day. They got such great menus. I love those places. You will too. If you haven't been, head to the Older Brother.
I'm still waiting for someone. I've challenged people that crap on Starkville to come to Starkville, and I will pay for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not satisfied,
yeah,
then I will go on the show and I'll tell people that these people aren't satisfied, I guess, and they can do whatever.
Yeah.
But I promise you, they will be satisfied.
Oh, they'll be satisfaction, all right. By God. Great products, great service. Every business. I was wondering if I was going to get that out of you. Every business promises it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years. 50.
50.
Whatever you're looking for in terms of business technology, if you need copiers or printers, computers, laptops, whatever it is, you need to give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if something goes wrong and you need service, it's just a phone call away. They make it super, super easy to deal with them. And that's something that, you know, if you're a business owner, do you really want to wait a week to 10 days for somebody to show up to fix up your copier, your printer? No. No, you don't have to with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but Maroon & Company, the promo code is THUNDER15. You can save 15% on regular price items with our promo code. That's online or in-store. And if you're looking for stuff that you can't find anywhere else, it is the place to go. They have got an incredible selection of MSU gear with all of the logos that you are looking for. Before you're at Davis Wade this Saturday, you need to go to Maroon & Company. All right, back into it. So I'm going to love this. Dalton Lee has a regular question for us.
Oh.
Nothing out of the ordinary here. Nothing out of the ordinary. Let's just go with it. My boss and I were having a discussion about Bama quarterbacks in the league versus Dak in terms of talent, and Bryce Young's name came up, which got me to thinking, is Bryce Young really that bad as an NFL quarterback, or is he just the victim of the bad organization? Two things can be true at the same time. I think that Bryce Young, of all the Alabama quarterbacks, benefited the most from having Alabama's players around him.
Yeah.
Like,
I had this conversation with someone at my house the other day. We were talking about Alabama and how they just the quarterbacks that come out of there, they just never really do anything in the NFL.
Tua and Jalen Hurts are kind of fixing that a little bit.
And those are different.
And Hurts got a year at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
With Lincoln Riley.
But Hurts would have been, he would have done the same thing, I think, if he would have come out of Bama. He was.
Yeah. Maybe.
But those guys are built like NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah. Whereas Bryce Young.
Mac Brown.
He's so small.
You know, A.J. McCarron. Mac Jones. Mac Brown. A.J. McCarron.
McElroy. Love Greg, but.
Those guys were really smart quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That knew to get the ball in their playmakers' hands, and you had the best offensive line in the country. You had we had world class receivers.
When you always have 6 seconds to throw the ball, and when your receivers are always open, it's tough.
Mac Jones probably benefited more than Bryce Young.
Yeah, maybe so.
Because I'm pretty sure he had Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle.
So did Tua.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, Bryce Young did not. He didn't have all those.
He didn't have all those guys. He had.
And
he had.
He virtually, in my opinion, 2 years ago, he carried that team.
Yeah.
They were not great.
Yeah.
And he got them through probably two or three games that they should have lost to Texas. Yeah. Should have lost to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Should have lost to Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
What was another game? There was another game that they should have lost. They could have very easily only won nine games.
LSU.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But he kind of willed them to a win in those games. I thought that he would translate better, and also he just has nothing around
him. The only thing that hurts him is that the guy picked directly behind him is awesome. Stroud,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's just fantastic. So
and people keep comparing Will Levis and Bryce Young. Neither one of those guys are good right now.
Yeah.
Will Levis, the other day, somebody pulled up an old tweet of mine where I was saying Bryce Young, I thought Bryce Young was the better quarterback just from what we had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was beating his chest over – Will Levis, and I went and looked at his stats, and he was like 10 of 20 for like 105 yards and two interceptions. I mean,
wait, what are we talking about?
Neither one of them have been good.
Yeah.
Although he is a captain now, so.
Yeah. Sarthak Sharma for the rumblings was the hiring of Coleman Hutzler, a blunder by Levy. It's too early to say. It's too early. I know he had a bad game, but what if he turns around? Can't do that. Can't say that.
And, you know, like, we talked about it preseason. I don't know if we will have a firm answer on Coleman Hutzler this year.
No, we might not.
The personnel, to me, is just so depleted.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can make that determination right away.
Not a rumblings question, but we were just talking about this. I want to show you this. So, one of our listeners, Courtney Marone, might be Maroon, I don't know. She texted me the other day, or tweeted at me, asking about Mississippi pot roast and like what cut of roast she should buy. I was like, got to get a chuck roast. She was like, great. So she texts me, she tweets at me, Mississippi pot roast with rice and gravy last night, and now the melted cheese sandwich the next. Thanks to Brian. Hey, Dad, enjoy it very much. I want you to look at this sandwich. I got a picture right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one of the most perfect-looking roast beef sandwiches I've ever seen. Look at this.
That looks really good.
I mean, it looks like...
What is that bun?
That's what I'm saying. It's like a perfectly toasted hoagie roll.
Does it have sesame seed on it?
No, it's just very crispy. It looks like it's been toasted under the broiler or something.
Good.
I mean, that is, if I like wanted an AI to draw me a picture of a roast beef po' boy, that's what it would look like. That's incredible.
I go to there's a place in Eupora we've talked about, Mitchell's.
Yeah.
They
got a roast beef
po' boy? Grill. Yeah. They have a Mississippi pot roast sandwich.
Oh.
And it is, that's what I get when I go there for lunch. It is phenomenal.
I need to check that out.
Yep.
Brad some Baxter.
Melted cheese on it.
Yeah.
Toasted bun.
Yeah. That's what it looks like now.
It's so good, man.
Brad Baxter asks, where do the in-game interviews with Arizona State's head coach Saturday night rank on your list of most coach-speak interviews you've heard? Very coach-speaky, Dillingham was.
They kept interviewing him.
It was weird. They never went to Lebby.
What were they doing?
They never went to Lebby for an interview.
It was like, and he was like, he sounded and looked like a GA.
Yeah.
I kept having the double takes. Like, is that the head coach or is that?
Two things that bothered me. One, all right, y'all. Y'all, I'm about to say the S word. I'm just going to say it. Just going to say it. Prepare yourself.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs. Here we go. Yeah, no shit. It's hot in the desert. It's hot in the desert. They kept making like a big thing about it.
They kept making it like
the desert.
You're talking to people from Mississippi.
Yeah.
This is one of the most unbearable
Connecticut.
Yeah. I mean, like, what? Like, the Quint guy has his sleeves cut off. And
like, next year when they do this game in Mississippi, that guy's shirt is going to be melted to his body because of the humidity. So that bothered me. And then they interviewed Dillingham, I think, three times and never once went to Levy.
Yeah, it was weird. Very weird.
Very weird. All right.
That whole broadcast is weird. And then, you know, you got Mark Jones talking about a DJ spinning the turntables.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, you're not like you're saying things from like 1985. Like,
yeah. Sheldon Nations is a this or that for us. Would you take a one-time cash payment of $2,500 or once a year guaranteed? You run into a group of like 30 British dudes, and one will start singing, then another, before everyone erupts into harmony and has a great evening. I'll take the money.
You run into a group of like 30 British. Like, is this the I'll be your hut and be your fantasy?
I don't know.
Where they sing, like they're singing Savage Garden.
I mean,
yeah, have you seen that
I
video?
Haven't, but I'll just take
I'm sure
the
you
money.
Have. Like, it's like one dude starts singing Truly Madly Deeply.
Yeah.
And then the next guy, and like, they're all guys from like a pub or whatever. And they start singing Truly Madly Deeply by
Okay, I haven't seen it. I still take the money.
I want a sign with you on the mountain.
Okay. What are you doing? You taking the money or the singing guy?
I'm taking the money.
Okay, great. I thought it was easy. Colton Peterman. We got a different Colton in here. What the heck? Rank these Colemans. Gary Coleman, Kevin Coleman, Joel T. Coleman.
Woo!
And the Coleman Lantern. I'm going to go.
The Coleman Lantern, I think, is last.
I
don't use lanterns.
Yeah, I don't use a lantern. Kevin Coleman, 1. Joel T. Coleman, 2. Gary Coleman, 3. Coleman
Willis.
Lantern, 4. What?
Were you talking about Willis?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when Gary Coleman was on WCW?
Yes.
Didn't he get hit with a guitar by Jeff Jarrett?
No, that's somebody. You're thinking of somebody else. That was Beetlejuice.
That was Beetlejuice.
The guy from the Howard Stern story. What are you doing, slap nuts? Yeah, I just hit him with
Just turned around. Just
What'd you call me? Yeah. That's prime Jeff Jarrett, too.
Gary Coleman didn't get... What happened with him?
He just faded into obscurity.
No, what happened with him in the show?
Was he on WCW?
Something happened with him on the show.
I think he just did like an appearance or something. I don't know. It wasn't anything big.
No. I thought he got hit with a steel chair or something.
Mason Welch, was Cohen or Templeton a worse athletic director? I feel like it's Templeton. It's not even really close either.
Really?
Yeah, it did. I feel like Cohen at least worked in the modern era of sports for the most part. State had some success in all sports under him. So,
yeah, I mean,
under Templeton,
from a higher standpoint, football didn't really work out. I mean,
it didn't work out.
I mean,
Jackie wasn't hired by Templeton. Like, Templeton did not want to hire him.
Who was he hired by?
Dr. Zacharias.
Oh, you mean like it wasn't his decision?
Right.
Okay.
Dr. Zacharias was like, no, we're going to hire Jackie.
I thought you meant like he wasn't around.
He was definitely the athletic director, but he's not getting any credit for it. So, what two SEC current head football coaches would have made the best tag team? It's a shame Arnett's not here anymore. Actually, it's not, but you see what I'm getting at, because that would make it easy. Pittman. So we want to go like Big Little here, right? We want, you know, like Kane and Daniel Bryan here. So Pittman's the big guy.
Pittman's going to be slow and out of
breath.
That's
fine. He's the big guy at the end.
It depends on who he's going up against.
So I think we're going to go Pittman and Napier.
Okay.
Or maybe Beamer. I don't know. Stoops. Stoops might be like Haku tough. I could see that.
Yeah. You got like
no nonsense.
The grip he has is just...
We're going Stoops and Napier.
Okay.
No. I'm sorry. One more time.
I think Lebby would hold his own.
Lebby's a good choice. Venables. He's a crazy person.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got dad strength.
Venables and Stoops.
Yeah.
That's where we're going. All right. Cody, I want to give you some credit here. This is one of the best questions we've gotten in some time. And I'm going to use this all week long now on this show. What's more frustrating, a defense staying in the same formation that's not working after the defensive coordinator has said all offseason they'd be multiple, or State's defense getting handled like that when Peter Sermon's Cal defense beats a Hugh Freeze offense? Holy crap, I hadn't even thought about that. That all we heard all offseason was multiple, 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 and then they just stayed in the same damn formation for 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, they finally went to 4 down at some point.
Cody, you're a genius. It's that's the correct answer.
Why do you think that they wouldn't? Is there
I don't know the answer.
Is there a sense that, you know, they just don't have the guys to run 4 down linemen? But
you have to change something. Here's the thing. When you say you don't have the guys, if you don't have enough good defensive linemen to run 4, you certainly don't have enough to run 3.
Like, why can't you, if you don't have the linemen, why can't you just put, like, add in Joseph Head at defensive end?
I
mean, even like Ty Cooper. I know he didn't have a great game, but like somebody that can put his hand on the ground over there and try to defend the run.
F-I-O.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
And maybe
he talked about being multiple all offseason. And then he wasn't.
That's something that
drives me crazy.
If you didn't input that during, you know, summer,
yeah,
whenever you knew you weren't going to have Calvin Dinkins and Deontay Anderson, you just didn't have the numbers.
Yeah,
you should have figured that out last week.
Yeah,
and certainly in the middle of the game, whenever they're just constantly picking up 7-8 yards of rush, it was maddening. It was absolutely maddening. And if we see that again,
I'm gonna lose it.
This place is going to absolutely implode.
Yeah. Mangum Cafe, are we sure that Scataboo was not powered by AI and controlled in a lab somewhere near China?
My first impression was that it was like Mike Allstott.
Yeah. I mean, he looked good.
If he would have had like a cowboy collar or one of those things on his neck, the neck rolls.
Yeah. He looks like a running back from season 4 of EA College Football Dynasties, because in EA College Football Dynasty mode right now, almost everybody in the SEC has a white running back. It's really weird.
Oh, really?
It's really weird.
That's a glitch.
Yeah.
That's something.
Almost all the kickers are black, too. It's so really weird. You get 10 carries last Saturday versus State. What is your average and longest? I average 0.0 yards per carry.
Don't get
my line. My longest carry of the day is zero. I might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage.
All those missed tackles they had would not exist.
Yeah, yeah. They would get me. Did you know the desert was hot? I did know that.
Quint Kessinger, whatever the dude's name, told us.
Yeah. The whole thing was like they put the egg out there. Like, it didn't even fry.
I didn't even see that.
They put an egg on a pan. They left it out. Like, it didn't fry. It just sort of like, it cooked a little, but like, they made it sound like it should be, when you do that whole frying egg on an outside thing, it should be sizzling the minute you put the thing out.
And they talk about how hot it is. I didn't see anyone sweating. When I go to a State game,
yeah,
people are pouring in sweat.
Yes.
And it might be, 20 degrees cooler than it is in the desert. So I just didn't think that was that much of a factor for this team.
Cameron Worm.
Big Worm.
What is a realistic timeline for a rebuild in the transfer portal era? I think I was too optimistic. 2 years.
Yeah.
If you can show,
if you cannot rebuild your team in 2 years, then you're not good at it.
Yeah. You now in year one,
looks like Kenny Dillingham is doing it.
In year one, you have to show that what you're doing is going to work. And if you do that in year two, you should be able to get guys out of the transfer portal.
At least something to sell.
Yeah. How does listenership correlate with team performance? It's kind of inverse. In that
when they lose, we do better.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hate that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we don't like that. But, I mean, if we do have to watch a losing product, we at least want to be getting the returns.
Yes.
You know.
Reed Green. Rank these Mississippi pop culture icons. James Earl Jones, Elvis, Jim Henson, and Faith Hill. Elvis
is number one.
Yeah.
King of rock.
I think Jim Henson is two. I mean, the Muppets are huge.
Muppets are huge.
Then James Earl Jones, then Faith Hill.
I think that's probably what I would do.
Second question, is there a more iconic characteristic in cinema and TV history than Darth Vader's breathing? What about Tony Soprano's breathing? And push. You know, I can't do it. Did you see that video the other day? The guy doing the impression of Tony Soprano?
Yes.
That was incredible.
That's the dude from Mad TV.
Yeah. I couldn't believe how good his impression was.
What's his name? He was on Sage Steel, and Sage Steel's jaw was on the ground. She could not believe it. It was so good. Will Sasso is also very good Tony Soprano impersonator.
Let me see if I can find. I can't find. I found a thing that's got a link to it, and the first comment is, no more impressions, OP. They're hurtful, and they're destructive.
Like, oh, my God.
It's true. It's an off-call remark.
Have you ever seen the Will Sasso when he was on Mad TV?
Yeah.
And they did, like, if this was on network television, and, like, so it was just like, like, it was just, like, cussing the whole time, and they were just going
for it. It was an off-color remark. It was highly inappropriate. If you want, I'll demand he's taxed. That's great. John sent me something. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. He texted me the other day, and I got him good. Let's see if I can find it here, John. Oh, no, never mind. I can't say that on the air. Never mind. Let's see here. Rob Hadaway, these are our last three questions. Saturday afternoon, I was watching football at an Alabama fan's house in Arizona. And I called both of Peyton Thorne's in-game interceptions right before they happened. Is there any better football viewing than feeling than calling a turnover in advance? There isn't. When you call it, the only thing that's better is calling a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like where we sit in the press box, you can do that sometimes. You can just be like, "Oh, he got him." But sometimes the ball will leave the quarterback's hands, and you'll just be like, "That's getting picked," and you know it before it gets there. That is a good feeling.
Yeah.
Definitely a very good feeling.
Some people are wrong about that all the time, like at baseball games and stuff. Yeah. That's out of here. And it's actually a shallow fly ball in the right field.
Got it. No, it's a can of corn.
Did you see the video that Grace had the other day where you can hear me in the background calling the touchdown?
Did you call one? Nice.
It was Caleb Cunningham. And
well, I mean, that's just an easy pick there, Robbie. Come on.
Well, no, I mean, the quarterback's got to get it to him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like your thing that you said about Will Rogers. Still got to throw it.
Yeah.
So, like, the ball is snapped. It's, like, in his hands, and you hear me go, uh-oh, that's a touchdown. And the ball, like, leaves his hands. It's in the air, and it's a touchdown. I was really proud of that.
There you go.
Caleb knew it was my voice in there, too. That was funny.
Also from Rob, how much more likely are you to watch a 2-hour Raw than a 3-hour? They're going to 2 hours.
They are. I'm much more likely.
Yeah.
Those get so long, man. Yeah. It's just, I mean, 2 hours is a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of commitment.
Rob Hadaway, aside from Darth Vader, what is the great James Earl Jones's best role? I think it's what's his name in Field of Dreams? What is it? I read.
Yeah, because his role in
he plays
in The Sandlot was, it wasn't a cameo, but it was just a short snippet, kind of.
What is the name of his character? Terrence Mann. Yes, that's probably it.
Or
also
Mufasa.
Loved him as. I love him in The Hunt for Red October too.
So. I mean, Mufasa is
Mufasa. Yeah, for sure. All right, that's it for today. All right, tomorrow, a lot of football to talk about. We got to get ready for Mississippi State Toledo, plus a lot more. Guys, have a great Wednesday. And Robbie, I'll be back with you on Thursday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.